All right, on that note, let's move on to Lycanthrone.
I'm a porcupine. I'm a porcupine. Don't drink no wine. I'm a porcupine. Watch out for my quills. Watch out for my quills. I don't wish you ill, but watch out for my quills. See me in the forest, and see me on the streets. See you stepping backwards every time we meet.
So he's got a banjo this time.
Oh,
it's
yes.
A sampled banjo. It's not a banjo.
No, he's playing a banjo. Shut up, Ryan. Shut your mouth. Yeah. And he's playing those strings, too, and it sounds great.
Aren't banjos supposed to make songs sound happy?
Sometimes they make them sound depressing and sad.
Yeah. That banjo from Deliverance is pretty happy.
There's that, yeah.
You know, one of the things I noticed right off is that there's a whole sung section in this song that sounds like it's in tune. Like, see me in the forest and see me on the streets. I see you stepping backwards every time we meet. That whole thing is sung in tune. And I'm like, yes, that's awesome.
I would say half of it's devoid of pitch. It's not even like it's sharp or flat. There is no pitch to it.
Yeah. It's, well, Lycanthrone has been a thing in Songfight for
maybe at least
years
a year
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. So it's kind of like we've been kind of following the evolution.
Sliding scale sort of thing. That makes sense.
Yeah, we're really happy when we hear something like this because it does show some real progress. I mean, the vocal melody is more elaborate than we're used to hearing from him, and that's always a good thing. And he tends to write some of the best lyrics in Songfight.
Oh, yeah.
So we hear this, and it's like we want to talk up the really good stuff. We tend to. And
that's good.
Know, yeah.
And would I be a jerk if I said bargain store Leonard Cohen?
No, that's perfectly legit.
Bargain store Leonard Cohen.
Like, I mean, take the Leonard Cohen part as a compliment.
Absolutely, because the songwriting is not bad at all, and it's not too far off. Like, I can hear what he's going for again, but yeah, the pitch is questionable at the very least.
Yeah,
I was listening to a podcast the other day. Do you guys ever listen to the Guitar Wank podcast? No, it has Bruce Foreman, who's one of the world's best jazz guitar players, bebop style, and Scott Henderson, who is, you know, famous for being a jazz fusion guitar player. But anyway, they interview their friends, and there's an Australian involved in it who's like sort of the host. But they were talking to a guy who is a music critic a couple podcasts ago, and one of the things that they were talking about was how the advent of the technology has made it so that it used to be that you would have songwriters and then you'd have singers. And then they became singer-songwriters. And now the technology has gotten to the point where you just have like all these one-person bands.
Right.
And there's a certain extent to which that can be not ideal, right? It could be better if you have like someone who's actually their talent is songwriting and they go find a singer to work with.
Who or a guitarist. Really... Thanks, Mo.
You play guitar just fine.
Yeah, just fine. Just barely.
Yeah, well, you know, I wasn't going to say anything too bad in public.
But, you know, like Chris Christopherson is a great songwriter, but he is not a great singer.
Yeah. There's also a difference between like what your bass level is, right? Like I try not to sing on anything as well because I know what I sound like. You guys won't. Some people either they don't have that option.
Yeah,
or they used to not have that option. But now with the internet, it like you definitely have that option. You just have to go find people. So I thought the backing track for this song was really cool.
Yes. You know?
And it was very catchy and it had like good sounds to it and it had a good feel to it. And what would happen if, you know, Glenn sang on it? What would happen if
I just blew my chance for that.
If Val sang on it.
At this point, he's not gonna like me much.
I'm pretty sure if you give him a free copy of E.T. the video game.
Really make an enemy out of them. There you go.
Well, you know, I think that Lycanthrone could do a lot to improve this if he would just fix, like, the important pitches. Like, you know, pitches on verses are, they come and go. You're not worried too much about them. But, like, on the chorus, it goes, I'm a porcupine. I'm a porcupine. And the pine is flat, like, almost every time. And it just kills it when it's on an important word like porcupine, the title of the song. And it's on the chorus. You hear it all the time. If he would have just gone into Melodyne and sharpened up the pine note right there, that would have gone a long way to making it better.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
The other thing about it is which beat you're on. If you're on a strong beat, that note needs to be good. It needs to be really good. If you're on a weak beat, you can sort of get away with a little bit more.
I'll just add a quick comment about the lyrics. You know, I like the quirky, dysfunctional love song type stuff. And that aspect in these lyrics is cool and neat.
Absolutely.
I always like that direction. And that's like 90% of all Jerkatorium songs anyway. I think it's a really good take on the title.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. Absolutely. In that regard, I don't hate it. I do think that that's the Leonard Cohen part of it, is there's clearly some good songwriting going on. Sharpen up the performance part of it, and yeah, it could be really good.
Yeah, that always comes back down to everyone's personal, I guess we're using the word rubric now, about how they evaluate the whole thing in a song fight, right? How much of it is songwriting fight, and how much of it is arrangement fight, and how much of it is production fight and mastering fight, or like whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
How much of it is guitar solo fight? Almost none.
Sadly.
Unless you talk to Glenn Nee. Yeah.
Well, just wait until Glenn and I get together and put the guitarists thing back to, into play. That was Sven Mullet the first time around.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure we can get all three of us. I don't know. Does Sven still make music? Do you know, Glenn?
I don't remember offhand. I know that he has a song called that is one of my favorites. But yeah, I don't know for sure if he's still doing his thing or not.
Yeah, that was a few years ago, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, because I remember we started the guitarist thing just because he had just gotten a new guitar and I had just gotten a new guitar. So, you know,
that's a good reason to do it. Yeah,
obviously things had to happen. But what was I saying?
Rubric.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The whole question of like how you weigh those different things in the fights. And these last couple of songs, the JP song and this song are sort of like, you know, test cases for how you weight those different elements. Because the JP song, I mean, the production of it is a mess. But there are interesting, good songwriting elements in there. I think the Lycanthrope song is probably a really good song, actually, right there. I think the writing of it is probably pretty solid. And the production, for the most part, is fine. It's just the voice. Or do you guys think it's more than that?
No, I think it's the tunefulness or lack thereof that's really the problem. I think, you know, Lycanthrope
vocal
has... Yeah, exactly. He can do Leonard Cohen or who's the guy from Joy Division?
Oh, Ian Curtis.
He's got that Ian Curtis deep voice too.
I think the backing music and maybe even some of the vocals are a little, I don't want to sound mean, are a little devoid of soul.
Yes.
Too. You know, like there's no swing.
His name is Lycanthrope. So, I mean, it's going to be goth.
I guess so. I never really put him in that category, but now that I think back, yeah, maybe. But that might just be his voice. You know, we've had him on the podcast, and that is not an affectation. That's how he sounds.
Yeah.
He's this era's Obscurity. There was an old school songwriter named Obscurity that was doing that same sort of thing. And then what he did is he worked with Hoblet, and together they were Bloodberries and Cream. And that was exactly what happened was Obscurity made the music. He handed off the singing duties to Hoblet, and it worked really well. So maybe there's something like that in Lycanthrope's future if there isn't already a project like that that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, he does this collaboration with Dimetrodon where he does the music and the other guy does the singing. And Dave, I think his name is, and it works out pretty well.
See, there you go. Perfect.
Okay, well, in that case, like, it's sort of a question of, yeah, maybe there's, you know, ways to improve the vocal performance through technology, of course, and that can be good too. But then there's also, like, you know, just sort of like figuring out what your lane is and knowing how to stay in it. In terms of what you're able to do at the moment. I don't know if this conversation has been had about Lycanthrope before because I haven't really been part of it, but his voice is actually not that bad, right?
No, not at all.
Like, it's just a question of like trying to push it in ways that it doesn't really want to go yet, right? Because it maybe takes a little bit more training, or if you do like scales every day, and it doesn't take that long to increase your range or increase your power or whatever, you know, objective you want to achieve with your voice, if you really want to. But until then, you sort of have to find your lane and stay in it.
I remember my vocal coach would say, if you would just do scales every day, you would suck a lot less. I'm like, no, that sounds like work, dude. I don't want to really work at it. Just make me better.
If nothing else, maybe take a few more vocal takes if you aren't already doing like 100 of them or whatever. You know, just try a few more edits, maybe. I don't know.
Hey, Glenn, when you do like a song in 3 or 4 hours, how many vocal takes are you doing?
Oh, you know, it depends. It greatly depends. But I'll normally end up singing it twice all the way through. where one of them is the main vocal and then I'll do a second one underneath it. But if I notice that I just sang it and it sounded bad, then I'm going to go back over that and take it section by section. I heard that was actually the way MC Frontalot does it. He'll just do one line at a time.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes.
And so it depends on the song, but sometimes I'll be on like my 50th vocal take for that one spot because like, nah, that doesn't sound right. No, that doesn't sound right either. And you just punch in the spots, like you listen back to it and say, okay, these three sections of the song, I need to go back and punch in and do a better job on the vocal in those spots. I don't know if Lycanthrope's already doing that sort of thing, but I would be interested to hear what it would sound like if he did.
I know he's got Melodyne, so that's a good first step.
There you go.
Part of the reason why we're spending so much time talking about it is because, like, we hear it's something that's there.
There's promise, yes.
You know, there's something that's there that's really good. Just unfortunate that we're not in a room with Lycanthrope talking about it, because it would go a lot faster.
Yeah.
Yep.